The basis for our homily this evening is another epistle reading for the end of the church year from the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So far, the words. In the name of our Lord. This reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4 puts before us several things that connect with the themes of the end of the church year, and we can group these things around three questions. What will it be like in the end times as judgment draws near? And then secondly, in view of what it will be like, what is the Christian church through its ministry supposed to be doing? And finally, what is the hope of the faithful? What will it be like? What are some things that we should expect to see before our Lord's return? Various biblical texts show us the characteristics of the end times. Jesus spoke of wars and commotions, nation rising against nation, earthquakes, famines, pestilences. All these things point to the coming of the end of all things. And the apostle here adds other dimensions to the signs of the end times. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Here are some characteristics of the end time with regard to how people will react to the truths of the faith and the teachings about the relationship between God and humanity. Many will not endure sound teaching, the apostle asserts. They will refuse to put up with sound teaching based on the Word of God. They will rebel against the faithful setting forth of the essential teachings of the faith. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. What aspects of the teachings of the faith especially? The unbelief of the end times will penetrate directly to the foundational truths of the faith. What is the source? What is our source of truth? What is the condition of humankind since the fall into sin? What has God done to provide redemption? How does God purpose to give to human beings the redemption that he has provided? What hope is there for the faithful? Concerning all these things, rebellious mankind will not endure sound teaching. Rather, they will heap up for themselves teachers who will teach according to their own desires and according to what their own itching ears want to hear. Those are some striking expressions the apostle uses. The heaping up, the piling up of teachers, and endless proliferation of teachers, teachers, and more teachers. And what is the certification process, so to speak, of such teachers that the apostle speaks of? This has to do with the desires of those who are taught. And those desires are described under the picture of having itching ears. To have itching ears means that one wants to be told certain specific things that one will find appealing. The certified teachers of the end times are those who tell their hearers what they want to hear. And what do people want to hear about religion? What do people want to hear about the source of truth in religion? Oh, maybe something about the Bible, but it's always to be qualified in some way. The Bible plus what I think should be accepted as truth, or the Bible minus the parts of it that I don't like. What do people want to hear about the diagnosis of the human condition? Well, maybe some talk about sin and shortcomings, but How about adding a little bit about the great potential for goodness in people and the ability to make the right decisions in spiritual matters? Or how about toning down a bit the harshness of what the Bible has to say about the helplessness and hopelessness of the human condition apart from the grace of God? What do the itching ears want to hear about how salvation is acquired? Well, maybe they will tolerate some reference to the Son of God as Savior, but those itching ears want to hear about what we can contribute to the winning of our own salvation. What do itching ears want to hear about how the Spirit of God works to give us salvation? Well, not about the gospel and word and sacrament, but rather some dramatic and direct working of the Spirit that makes a big impression on people's minds. Those with itching ears are rather like the cancer patient who is told, "You are diagnosed with the disease," and then responds, "I don't like your diagnosis. I'm going to find for myself a doctor who will tell me what I want to hear. And what I want to hear is that everything is just fine and that I know how to live right." Our age has heaped up teachers who are extremely good at appealing to the itching ears. And since this is the case, what is it then that Christ Church is supposed to do in response? Some apparently would say that we should try to be as much like the successful preachers of our times as we can be. Use their methods, follow their procedures, because they attract crowds and take in a lot of money. But listen to the apostle here, speaking to his younger colleague, Timothy. He begins, "I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, he brings to bear his apostolic authority on the situation, the authority he had as one who was sent directly by Christ himself to do the work of ministry. This is not just the opinion of another mere mortal. It is a charge and mandate of Christ himself. He expresses here what the Lord of the church wants done through the ministry that he established. And he puts together this striking string of imperatives. He begins with the overarching principle, preach the word. Preach, he said. That means function as a herald. That means to be an official messenger who brings news with the authority given to him by a higher authority. Christ himself is the authority, and he authorizes his heralds to speak in his place, and he gives them the content that they are authorized to proclaim. Preach the word, the message Christ has authorized, not what itchy-eared human beings want to hear for their own gratification. And what is involved in the preaching of the word? The apostle uses three more imperatives: convince, rebuke, exhort, he says. The first two go together. It might be better to translate the first word convict. Yes, convict. Declare human beings to be guilty of criminal offense before God. Find them guilty, sentence them to death, and rebuke them for their condition. Express the sharpest disapproval possible. This is not the stuff itchy ears want to hear. But then he also says exhort, which can also be translated encourage and comfort. There is also a message of encouragement, and that is the holy absolution. The Son of God in human flesh has won your salvation, and he gives it to you in this declaration: your sins are forgiven. There are some other interesting instructions that go with this: when to do it, in season and out of season, anytime people will hear, and in what manner to do it. With all long suffering, that is, with great patience, because it takes these things time to sink in. The apostle ends his command to Timothy, "Fulfill your ministry. Do everything that you are charged to do in the proclamation of the word." And what's the end of it all? The end of it all is a message of hope. St. Paul expresses the hope for himself, the hope that he will to impart to all hearers of the apostolic ministry to the end of the age. "There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing." That's a message of clear expectation of what is to come, a crown of righteousness, a blessed eternity, resurrection to eternal life, the transformation of our lowly bodies in conformity with the glorious body of the resurrected Christ. Life in this world, in the end times, not easy. But Christ's church carries on its ministry of preaching his word, and that message gives hope. And blessed are you in that hope. Amen.